ever full and free of a hope prepared above for eternity.
Around the corner, around the world, a soul meets Jesus, a soul who's never heard.
Into every land, over mountains tall and steep, over desert sand, Jesus died and lives above. All the world must know. Therefore, we must go
around the corner,
around the world.
A soul needs Jesus,
a soul who's never heard. Let's take the
All right, I'm going to share a quick testimony. David kind of put me on the spot here, so I'm going to share a quick testimony just about the faithfulness of the Lord and things that he's done there in Argentina. And then I'm going to sing one more song, a hymn that I'm sure you guys are very familiar with, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I'm going to sing one of the choruses I'll sing in Spanish, so you guys know what it sounds like in our church services there in Argentina, and then I'll do the other one in English. But just a quick testimony I wanted to share would be there in Argentina, as David mentioned this morning, we had a very long lockdown, intense lockdown in the sense of like police, and you weren't allowed to go out of your county, and it was very, very strict, and we didn't see our church people for a long time. But right before the lockdown, we had a girl come to the church. She was about 21 years old. She came. She had a lot of questions about the gospel, about the Bible, and I gave her my number. I shared the gospel with her, but she was just very confused. She had a lot of questions, and I gave her my number. Well, the next Sunday after that, two Sundays after that, we were closed down, the church. We weren't allowed to meet anymore. And so I was thinking, oh, man, I was just thinking about, you know, that girl. Her name is Deborah, and I was thinking, you know, she didn't get saved, and now I've kind of lost contact with her. I didn't get her number. I should have taken down her number. You know, you think all these things, and it's kind of like, well, what is the Lord doing? Because she wanted to come back to the church. Well, about 2 weeks into the pandemic, she contacted me on my WhatsApp, and so we started talking, and we actually started doing video calls where we would study the Bible. I had given her a Bible that Sunday, so we started going through John, 1 John, and then we started reading through the Gospel of John, and we started doing a Bible study, and she was able to receive the Lord over video call. And it was just so neat to see how the Lord worked everything out. And then once we were able to meet in person, being able to see her again, not just as a first-time visitor or a random person that came to church, but as my sister in Christ. And she was later baptized once we started coming back to the church and we were able to meet again. And so that was just a story about how the Lord is so faithful through all those times. And sometimes we look at our circumstances and we think, oh man, like what is going on? This isn't going to work out. But the Lord is behind the scenes and he's orchestrating all of that for us. So we have several testimonies about that during the pandemic, how the Lord used that. But we had another couple actually receive the Lord through video call as well. And then we were able to meet them in person afterwards. And so just how the Lord works. Through circumstances and that we don't see as good, but he turns them around because he is faithful and he is great. And so I wanted to sing this song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And like I said, I'm going to sing one verse in Spanish.
O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Oh, tu fidelidad, oh, tu fidelidad, cada momento la veo en mí. pues todo provees. Grande Señor es tu fidelidad. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. Thank you, Hannah, for the specials and the testimony, and also thank you, girls, for the music. And I'm so grateful that I can serve together with my family. What a blessing to serve alongside with them, and they are a great blessing to me. And I'm so thankful for my wife, and faithful wife in the ministry. The pastor was saying how important that is. We were talking earlier, and just the blessing that our wives are and have been to us, and so we're so thankful for that. Well, I just wanted to say once again thank you for your faithfulness in praying for us, supporting the ministry. I see you have our prayer letter there in the hallway, and you have it posted, and that tells me that you are praying for us, and you do have us in your prayers and in your mind, and so for that I'm grateful. And sometimes you send out the prayer letter and you wonder, you know, is anybody going to look at this, or where is it going to end up? But I'm so thankful that you are a faithful supporter and prayer partner with our family, and so what the Lord's been doing and is doing there in Argentina. So based on what I shared this morning with the video and a little bit of what we shared this evening, just before we get into the message, wanted to see if there's any questions, if that's okay, Pastor. Any questions that you might have about Argentina, about the country, or about the ministry there that we're doing in Argentina. Any questions that you might have during this time? Any questions that you might have? Well, Catholicism is the main religion. I would say about 70 to 80%, maybe even more, are Catholics. But the thing is, most of them are nominal Catholics. I would say about 20% are nominal Catholics. So the other are just, you know, they just say they're Catholics, but they're not. And so they just kind of say it because their family are Catholics. So we do have some the charismatic movement, people with the charismatic movement. We have a lot of churches in our area with that are associated with that, the healing and prosperity gospel type churches. So in our neighborhood, we are the only Bible preaching church in that part of Córdoba, but we are surrounded by churches. Those churches aren't preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ. So we have some of those. We do have some Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, things like that as well. So that's the main religion in Argentina. Thank you for that question. Any other questions that you might have about Argentina, about the ministry there? Any other questions? Yes, sir. Greatest difficulty. Wow, that is Well, I would say the greatest difficulty in ministering to the people there in Argentina would be maybe me personally, patience. I guess that can apply to everyone, but me especially, I get so impatient. You know, I want things to happen right away. I want things to work out a certain way. And when they don't, I get, you know, frustrated. You know, Lord, what are you doing? And so I guess for me, the greatest difficulty and what the Lord has been working in my life is patience, right? Patience, and has taught me and is teaching me and will continue to teach me that. So that patience in working with people, you know, working with people, because people, new believers, things like that, you know, can be very difficult, unpredictable at times. And so we ask the Lord for patience. And so if you would pray for me, pray for the Owens family, and pray for the Lord to continue to give me wisdom and patience to serve him. So that would be one of the... Yes, a lot of inflation in Argentina. Argentina is one of those countries that are known for its inflation. I would say annually about 40 to 50% annually. So that's a lot. So the currency there devaluates really fast. So people, they try to get rid of their Argentine money, the pesos, as fast as they can whenever they get it, and convert it into something that will be of more value down the road, you know, so because it does devaluate so fast. So a lot of inflation. So we could go to the store one day and, you know, a certain item is one price. You go the next week, it's gone up, you know, like 20, 30% without notice, or you just, you know, you just learn to accept that and work with that. Although it is hard to budget that way because you're not really sure what the prices are going to be or what's going to happen. So whenever we're going to make a big purchase, we always try to make a down payment to lock in the price. So if we're going to, you know, whether it's renting a house or any big, like a furniture, a larger purchase, we always try to give a down payment, like 5%, 10%, and you lock in the price. And then the Argentine money can do whatever. It can go up 100%, but hey, you have locked in the price. So that's one thing that you learn as you go about with the inflation. So, but yeah, a lot of inflation, a lot of economical not being stable economically, and so yeah, so it is difficult in that sense. But praise the Lord, we haven't had any major political upheavals or government upheavals in the last couple years. The last big one was in 2001, where it was pretty much like anarchy. And I was there with my family in Argentina, and we didn't go out for about 3 days. We stayed home because it was just anarchy on the streets. They froze everybody's bank account in 2001, the government. So needless to say, the people weren't very happy, you know? And that was the time where they had 5 presidents in about 14 days. So, I mean, 2001. Argentina has been known for that, hyperinflation, government, upheaval. But praise the Lord, it's been pretty calm recently, so relatively speaking. But that's a little bit of a snapshot of the situation in Argentina. But any other questions that you might have? Those are really good questions, brother. Thank you. Appreciate it. Any other questions before we move on? And if you do, feel free to give us a comment or a question there. And please take a prayer card also if you haven't. That way you can have one there in your house as well, and keep us before the Lord. And that's part of the message this evening. If you would, Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll start reading there, verses number 10 through the end of the chapter. Ephesians 6, 10 through 24. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Verse 19, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that he also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." Amen. Let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much once again for this opportunity, Lord, to be here at Coastal Shores Baptist Church, Lord. Thank you for opening this door for us to be here today. And thank you, Lord, for the good service we had this morning. And I pray for this evening, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done so far and you will continue to do. And thank you, Lord, for Pastor McBride, the church here. Continue to strengthen them, Lord. Guide them. Give them wisdom. And bless the church here, Lord, in this part of Charleston, in this part of South Carolina. Continue, Lord, to help them with being a faithful witness, Lord, here in this place where you've put them, Lord, this Jerusalem. And Lord, I pray for us as we endeavor to go back to Argentina. Bless the ministry down there. Bless this message, Lord. There's nothing, Lord, that I can say or do that can change or impact anybody, Lord, but it's your word, Lord. Speak through your word that your Holy Spirit might touch the hearts, Lord, of the people, and especially my heart, Lord. And thank you so much for all that you've done, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So I wanted to speak about a prayer for boldness, a prayer for boldness. The Apostle Paul here is writing to the church at Ephesus, here in the book of Ephesians. And we've read this portion here about the whole armor of God and putting on that armor, putting on the whole armor of God, and to be able to stand firm and stand strong in the Lord, not in our own power, not in our own might, but in the power and in the strength of the Lord. And that's one of the things that unfortunately, we see in our day and age and in Christianity is that we tend to depend upon ourselves to do the things of God, to do the things of the ministry, to go about our day. We have this dependence on self instead of a dependence on the Lord. But he says in verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And if I could ask you tonight, how are you going about your daily life? Where do you rely on for strength? Where is your confidence in? Is it in you? Is it in the things of this world? Or is it in the Lord? And then he goes on to say in verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And we know that prayer is having a fellowship with our Lord and Master. And prayer is certainly that. Prayer is saying, Lord, I need you. I depend on you. Lord, help me in this situation, in this matter, because Lord, I can't go about it without you. I can't go through it without you. Lord, I need you. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And then he says here in verse number 18, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So praying for all the saints. And you know, we certainly can't pray for all the saints in the state of South Carolina. And most likely not even all the saints in Charleston. But you know what? We can pray for all the saints in our local congregation right here. And we can certainly pray for each and every one here in this local community of believers. And that's one thing that I continually tell the people there in Argentina, at our church, it's so important that you're part of a local church. It is so important that you decide, is this your local church? Is this your family? Is this going to be where you're going to be fed? You're going to be where you're going to grow? Because we all need to be part of a local church. Throughout the New Testament, we see time and time again, local churches, right? In a physical location, in Philippi, in Rome, in this case, Ephesus. And time and time again, in city after city, a local church being formed, being established. And then the local church here in Charleston, South Carolina. And the Bible says here, praying with always. And praying for all the saints. And then he says in verse number 19, and this is the message here, and for me. If you don't take anything else from the message, just remember this, verse 19, and for me. The great Apostle Paul, the one that traveled and planted churches and spread the gospel throughout a great part of the known world at that time, who was greatly used of God. But he said, and for me, and for me. And I in no way want to compare myself to the apostle, but I do want to echo what he's saying there. And he's asking for prayer, and for me. And if I could say, Brother David Owens is asking you, the church, to pray and for me. Pray for me, pray for us, pray for our family. Now, what is the prayer here? Verse 19, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's, in essence, the prayer of the apostle, right? He's praying and asking for boldness, right? Praying for utterance. Praying that the word of the Lord might go forward in the place where he was ministering. That I may make known the mystery of the gospel. Number one, as we give out the gospel, we must ask for boldness and open doors. That is something that I'm praying for. And I ask that you pray for, but I think that's something that we should all pray for and ask for boldness, right? For open doors as we give out the gospel. Pray for boldness and open doors. You know, naturally, I'm not a very outgoing individual. I tend to be shy, introvert, So for me to go and talk to a stranger or even preach, you know, get up in front of people, that can be a difficult thing. But, you know, I need to ask the Lord for boldness, for strength, right? That the Lord would help me to give the gospel and for open doors. The opposite of that, the opposite of the boldness and open doors is fear and or apathy. And unfortunately today, my friends, we live in a day and age where many of us are fearful. Many of us have fallen into a state of apathy and just, you know, indifference. But my friend here, the Apostle Paul, is asking, right? Church at Ephesus, pray for me. Pray for boldness, that the Lord would stir up something in your hearts to go out forth in your local community, and pray for me as I go out to different places so that the word might go forward, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Looking back at what the Lord has done in our family through trials and hardships, I can truly say it is only by the grace of God that we are here. And to go forward, we must continue to pray for boldness and open doors. Number two, as we give out the gospel, we must ask the Lord for wisdom. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 16. And I think of this passage in Acts 16 during Paul's missionary journey here in Acts chapter 16, verses number 6 through 10. Acts chapter 16, verses number 6 through 10, says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." So here we see two instances, the Lord redirecting the Apostle Paul. His intent was to go east, and he ended up going west. It says they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And then they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So the Lord was directing Paul, right? And then he used this vision, the man of Macedonia, and said, come over and help us. And then they would go to Philippi and plant a church there and other churches. But what I'm trying to say this evening is, as we give out the gospel, as we're out about, we need to pray for open doors, we need to pray for boldness, and we need to pray for wisdom. We need to ask the Lord to guide us as we go about our life in sharing the gospel. I want to share with you something that happened to us while we were starting the church. We landed in Córdoba, Argentina, about 4 years ago, a city of 1.5 million people, and we did not know a soul in that place. We didn't know anybody there in Córdoba. And so we were praying, and we knew that the Lord wanted us to start a church. So we were praying, Lord, where do you want us to start the church? We don't know where we need to go. It's a city of 1.5 million people. There are so many places that we could go and start a church. But you know, we knew that the Lord wanted us to start there in this city. And then after seeing different areas, the Lord led us to rent a storefront building in an area called Argüello, there in the northwest part of the city of Córdoba. And then after we started the church, a couple months later, we had a lady come to the church. Her name was Belkis. Her name is Belkis. And Belkis had been praying for over 10 years that a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church would be started in that area. For over 10 years, she had been saved at another church downtown, but she doesn't have a car, and she has to take two buses, and so that takes about an hour and a half to 2 hours to wait for two buses, and her health has been declining the last couple years. So she was praying, right? We didn't know Belkis. We didn't know she lived there. We didn't know that she lived two blocks from the place where we're renting. But the Lord did. Amen. The Lord did. She didn't know that we were going to plant a church there in that area, in that part of Cordoba. But the Lord did. So praying for wisdom, and the Lord directed us there. Amen. That was just of the Lord. That wasn't us, right? That wasn't something that we did. That was the Lord. So as we go about, the Lord will give us gospel opportunities, right? People that we can invest in with our lives. Is there somebody in your life that the Lord wants you to pour out your life into their life? Somebody that you can spend more time with, teach them the Word of God, maybe give them the gospel, yes. But if they are saved, disciple them. Share the good news and teach them the doctrine of the Bible. Is there someone, maybe a family member, a coworker, a niece, nephew, a grandson, a grandchild? Because the Lord wants our life. He wants us to be involved, right? In the Great Commission, and that involves not only telling other people about Jesus and not only seeing them get baptized, but also teaching them, amen? Teaching them, and that's a lifelong journey. Number one, a prayer for boldness. As we give out the gospel, we must ask for boldness and open doors. As we give out the gospel, we must ask the Lord for wisdom. And as we give out the gospel, our desire is to make known the mystery of the gospel. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, I read it one more time. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And can I say that they might ridicule you. They might make fun of you. They might say, oh, you're one of those, right? But can I encourage you? Keep on. Amen. Keep on keeping on, because they are in darkness. They don't know any better. They are lost. They are in darkness. And what is our mission? Our responsibility is go and tell. Amen. Make known the mystery of the gospel. Why do they react that way? Because it is still a mystery to them. Many people have not heard the good news. It is a mystery to them. It is not a mystery to you and I. If you are saved this evening, if you're a born-again child of God, you know the Lord. Amen? You know that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. You have trusted the gospel. So it is not a mystery to you. But to those people out there that are lost in darkness, it is a mystery to them. So here the apostle is asking prayer so that he can make known the mystery of the gospel. Colossians 4:3 also says, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Then he says there in verse number 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And I finish with this. Do you see yourself as an ambassador, as a heavenly city, citizen passing through this earth for just a little while on your way to the heavenly kingdom? Or do you see this earth, you know, do you see this as your permanent place? Do you see this our earthly possessions as being eternal, as, you know, this is going to be here forever? Or do you see, no, you know, my home is up there in heaven. My citizenship is up there. I am just passing through, a pilgrim passing through, and I am a representative of the heavenly kingdom. I am an ambassador representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think our lives will say that, right? And our lives reflect that. I encourage you, I challenge you to consider these things, to pray for boldness, to pray for wisdom, to pray for open doors, and to pray for more opportunities to make known the mystery of the gospel. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much once again for this opportunity, Lord, that you've given our family, Lord, to be here this Sunday. Bless the church, Lord, Coastal Shores. I pray that you would give them more and more opportunities, Lord, to spread your word, to give your word, give them boldness, give them courage, Lord, in middle of these dark and difficult times, Lord. But we know that your word is still true. You are still working. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue working in this place. I pray that you would be with Pastor McBride, Lord. Give him wisdom. Give him direction. Thank you for his life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.